This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Conniry. Thanks for joining us. As we continue to cover the local impact of the new coronavirus, today we're highlighting some amazing work by local documentary photojournalist Kenfei Marodi that captures intimate moments of some of the people who are working around the clock with COVID-19 patients in area hospitals. Kenfei Marodi's special to the USA Today Network is called On the Front Lines of Coronavirus, The Fatigued Fighters Battling to Save Lives. He joins us via Skype. Kenfei, welcome to Gulf Coast Life.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about our conversation or any of our shows, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Kenfei, your recent special to USA Today Network called On the Front Lines of Coronavirus, The Fatigued Fighters Battling to Save Lives, it's really something. You know, it brought healthcare workers and what they're doing very much into the light for me. How did it all come about?
Well, I have a relationship with Lee Health that has kind of been established during my time here working for the News Press for about 14 years. And then when I left the News Press in October and launched my own initiative, I started to work more closely with Lee Health and projects for them that really, you know, showed their nurses' efforts and kind of honored their nurses' efforts. And so when the COVID-19 outbreak really started to take hold here in Southwest Florida, I reached out to Lee Health and we had a conversation initially just about capturing these moments for historical presence once they have kind of brought our community through this crisis to maybe share the photos, you know, internally with their staff as a way to honor them, or possibly, you know, an exhibit possibly where the community could take a look at them. And so that's how the immersion began, was in an effort to just make sure that the efforts of the nurses were recorded, you know, safely.
Talk about your process of being there and preparing to be there and what it was like to be inside the hospital during these times, inside the ICU during these times.
Well, after we had a, you know, after Lee Health had said, okay, you know, we're willing to capture moments, they set up without removing any nurses or doctors or any needed person to capture those moments. They had a representative from their public relations team initially go with me to the testing site, and that representative would kind of introduce me to the nurses and the doctors that will work in those testing sites, and then explain to them very quickly, you know, what was going on, the nursing projects that I had worked on with Lee. And then the simple process of just blending in and starting to capture the moments and starting to try and tell the story as clearly as possible. And so it began at the mobile testing sites inside the triage tents. And as I was capturing moments, at no time did I feel fear of, you know, contracting the virus. I think I was more aware of what I needed to do to make sure that I wasn't in the way of the nurses and the doctors as they were doing what they did, and that I made sure that I was, you know, protecting myself. And that was basically, I think, my mindset as I captured moments.
What kind of mask or personal protective gear did you wear?
Sure. So at all times, wherever I went, I made sure I had latex gloves available for me to wear. I brought those. I had gowns, and I had N95 masks that I had acquired prior to, and switch those out regularly every time that I captured moments, whether it be inside the tents or when I went into the emergency room and the intensive care units. Once I got into the emergency room and the intensive care units, I think I had a more heightened sense of awareness of making sure that I wasn't in the way, and also making sure that I was able to keep myself protected. And then when I went back out into the I would make sure that I would enter my home and take care of myself and keep my public interaction to a very minimum.
Did you disinfect your gear when you got home? I don't think I've ever thought to ask that question before, but as somebody who's carrying around gear, did you take it home or quarantine it or do something like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Every time I've been to farm workers or, in that case, coming back from the hospital, I have a routine, you know, where I carry Clorox bleach spray in my trunk, and I wipe down all my gear, and then I even leave it out in the sun. I live in an apartment where I can do that. There's some good sunspots. I can do that. And when you're in the emergency room, if you're doing your job properly, if you're being really careful, you know, you're not putting yourself or the equipment you're using, you know, you're there on the front lines, but you're really mindful of where you put your lens down at, if you do. So I carried in minimum equipment, and that allowed me to work, I think, more intimately and closely and capture some of those moments.
You know, at the end, there's the copy that, I guess, did you write the stuff that's at the end, the narration and as well as the captions?
Yes, for sure. You know, despite popular belief, I think I'm a better writer than I am a photographer.
Yeah, so, no, it's really good. Well, and what I wanted to ask you about is this talking about the fight for the COVID intensive care unit is surprisingly quiet. That's a really powerful little paragraph there where you talk about, you know, just how silent it really is. Can you reflect on that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, went into the intensive care unit, you know, one might think that it will be bustling, you know, with like rambunctious energy, and that there it is packed, you know, with nurses and doctors, you know, feverishly going about their business. And it's more like chess, you know. These nurses and these doctors, they are strategically quiet, and they are working in the rooms with the patients. It's not a lot of wasted energy. There seems to be like full thoughts being carried out. We're trying to do this. And I think that when professionals or when any of us are engaged in that type of thinking, there isn't room for a lot of chatter. There isn't room for a lot of, you know, wasted energy. It's kind of really, really focused. And so that even allowed me to, be closer to being aware of me, because they were so focused on what they were doing. And like I wrote, I think the hopeful whooshes of ventilators. I mean, that was the most prominent thing that you probably heard, were these ventilators, you know, chugging along, and the efforts of the nurses and the doctors trying to, you know, make sure that they were doing all they can to, you know, to save as many as they can. So vibe in the intensive care unit led toward it being more quiet.
You photographed the Iraq War, right? Was this reminiscent?
I sure did.
Was this reminiscent in some ways?
Oh, yeah. In a lot of ways, I think that I covered the Iraq War, and I was not embedded with American troops. Susan Taylor Martin and I, from the St. Pete Times at the time, we were unembedded, and our focus was mainly on war casualties. And so we spent a lot of time with people that were, you know, casualties of the war, or those that had been injured by, you know, the interaction. Her in a lot of dire situations in makeshift hospitals, where, you know, we were seeing people that had been victims of chemical gas attacks, and, you know, some people were, you know, victims of roadside bombs and things of that nature. So covering that really, in some ways, unknowingly, kind of, in a way, to feel the pall that was present in the intensive care unit. The nurses and the doctors were hopeful, and their actions were hopeful, but, you know, the Iraq War and this intensive care unit are similar in that, you know, there's some harsh truth. It's my community, you know what I mean? It's the people that I may have documented before, and it's the people that our community cares about. And so I think it was a little bit more, personal this time than it was in the Iraq War.
Your company, I guess, is called Hopeful Images. Can you talk about the role hope plays in your work and your life?
Sure. Yeah. One of my good friends and one of my mentors is Sarah Owen at the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. And she taught me a valuable lesson a couple of months ago. She said, hope is not a strategy. Hmm. And so hope means to me and how it plays in my life and in my work as a documentary photojournalist. I think that hope is indeed not a strategy, but I think hope is a great fuel, you know, that you can call on when you are trying to affect some kind of change. You're not sure what the change is going to be, but I think, you know, as long as you can breathe, as long as you can get up, as long as you have the fuel that makes that movement possible, I don't think you can really go after, you know, whether it's documenting a community's, you know, effort without some type of hope. You and I can't talk without hope. We're hoping that our communication, you know, works out, but there has to be a strategy as well. And so,
As I was looking through your pictures on the news the USA Today network, I was reminded of the famous Mr. Rogers quote when he talks about, you know, when he would see something scary, his mom would say to look for the helpers. That seems like it kind of sums up like what you're trying to do with your photojournalism during these times.
Right. I think that's what I need to do in order to survive mentally is, you know, when things are going really, really bad, you know, in our community, I just know firsthand there are so many people in our community that are going to try to make things better. And the way I steel myself, the way I get myself through this is by going out and capturing their efforts. And from their efforts, two things happen. I think I'm inspired to keep doing it. And then I feel that the moments I capture will inspire others to, you know, to not give up hope, develop a strategy, and develop a way to try to get through this. And like I said, whether I'm in Immokalee capturing the plight of the farm workers, or if I'm down, you know, at Centennial Park trying to bring some awareness to the plight of the homeless, I think that there are always people out there that can relate to that and that are trying to help as well. So for me personally, you know, finding those that are helping is the only way that I can, I think, make it. It's really a selfish thing. I hate to say it, Mike. I think my need to survive is really tied to surrounding myself around people that are helping.
I understand what you mean. We're pretty much out of time, but real quick, just tell us about Monday Morning Joy, your videography work.
Oh, yeah. Monday Morning Joy was something that I began when I was at the News Press where, you know, Mondays are tough days to get going. So I always tried to go out and find some hopeful moments, you know, of people, whether it be like a 98-year-old lady dancing, you know, in the nursing home, or whether it be, you know, the Cypress Lake a cappella choir singing. You know, I think it's just very important to balance the offerings that I think our community sees. I'm the master of despair, and I could be Edgar Allan Poe a lot, you know, but there is some, you know, Maya Angelou in me and some James Taylor. So I like to try to capture as many hopeful moments as possible. And I'm sharing those. I'm continuing to share those, you know, primarily on my Facebook page. And then now I'm working with nonprofits, you know, through the company I started, Hopeful Images.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this part of today's show. I want to thank my guest, Kenfei Marodi, is a documentary photojournalist. Kenfei, thanks for your time and for your great work.
Oh, thank you. Take care of yourself.